May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Hymn 136.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favour in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence, and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence, and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let us pray. O thou blessed God, in whom we live and move and have our very being, do favour us with thy blessing here today, the blessing of thy presence, and to make thy word a living word to our needy souls. Thou art God alone, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love. And as we come now to meet around thy word, giving thee thanks that our lives have been spared through another week of time, and now we come to this first day of the week. Oh, that it may be to us the Lord's day. Oh, may we know verily in soul that the Lord is risen indeed. Oh, what a blessed and tremendous truth it is, Lord. Oh, may we know what it is for thee to rise with healing in our wing, in thy wings, to come and heal us and to save us. And where the needs be, to speak the word only. Oh, therefore we look to thee upon the mercy seat. Oh, thou art Jesus sitting there at the right hand of God, the right hand of power. Oh, Lord, and more full of grace than I have seen. Oh, tremendous truth. Oh, what we'd do if there was no blessed and mighty Saviour. Oh, despair and eternal woe for ever and ever. But our hope is in Thee, and therefore we pray that we may be favoured to truly experiment, enter into the precious truth we sang in our opening hymn, O dear refuge of my weary soul. Well, there's no the woes and the weariness and the guiltiness and the fierce temptations, the inner tremblings, the heavy worries and the weights upon one and another here today. We're born to these things, Lord. As the sparks fly upward, we read in Job. Oh, we do pray then that we might know salvation. Oh, Thou blessed Spirit, do speak to us of everlasting salvation. Oh, may we know indeed the blessing, the imputation of a righteousness that shall never be abolished. It's for all our sins and shortcomings and failings. Oh, hear the cry of the poor and needy. Lord, at best we're dust and ashes in Thy sight. And sin is with all we do. We feel our woe. Woe indeed, again and again, from all that we know about ourselves. All that is true of our sinnership and the worldly mind that we have. But, oh, we would bless Thee for that hope in the precious gospel, and that hope through grace, Thy visitation, all the truth of the Son of God, which is our meat and our drink, that brings us a say amidst of many things, to whom else can I go, can we go? For Thou indeed, Thou blessed Emmanuel, hast the words of eternal life. And though we are so ignorant and foolish, yet we believe firmly in our heart that that Christ, the Son of the living God, oh, we know that that Christ, because we see by faith the glory and the beauty, and we have a hunger and a thirst and a necessity in our own soul, not in a strait, to press toward Thee, to touch the hem of Thy garment. Oh, we need washing and clothing. Oh, we do need Thy covenant love and mercy to rest upon us forevermore. Oh, therefore, we'd come in that frame of mind, we would see Jesus. Oh, blessed physician, what a fullness of grace is with Thee. All about us. We don't need to tell Thee. We don't inform Thee, Lord, about ourselves and our circumstances. Let us know them all. Been the wonders of Thy redeeming love, Thou hast appointed a mercy seat, and Thou hast given grace to send the Holy Ghost to bring us to Thy dear feet in prayer and supplication, to tell Thee these things, to cast our care and to plead the sweet truth of Thee, because Thou dost love Thy people and love to hear their bleatings and their cries. Oh, therefore do hear our cries for Thy great name's sake. May we each here be able to pour out our heart and tell Thee our secrets. Oh, tell Thee all that fills us with fear. Tell Thee our worst things. And tell Thee our impossible things. And plead the resurrection, the life. Oh, to plead Thee, the great and mighty God of Jacob. Oh, Thou friend of sinners, please be with us here today. Oh, please be with us as we journey through our days here below. Oh, laid in our heart how short our time is. Bring the realities of a never-ending eternity into our souls. And do deeply impress upon our wandering hearts. They do wander. Oh, they do, Lord. Oh, I should think they do, Lord. Oh, and only mine so desperately wicked. But may there be a unity among us. We confess solemnly all that we find so bitter about ourselves. Oh, do deeply impress upon our wandering hearts the love, that Christ for sinners bore. Oh, do give me a new and a contrite heart that loves the Saviour to adore. Oh, that we might know thee. Oh, what a mercy and a little of thee, Lord. Oh, do please make thyself known to one and another here. Oh, please be our future. Oh, may we cast every care. May we cling to thee. Oh, may we hold fast that we have already, that seems so ready to die, and indeed to hold fast till what we have already till thou come. Oh, do strengthen those things that remain that seem so ready to die. We live at such a dying rate without Jesus. Oh, nothing can separate thy dear people. Oh, as the poet says, that thou who art love cannot from thy post withdraw. And Lord, nor death, nor sin, our sin, nor hell, nor law, can turn the shortest heart away. We sing sometimes, Lord, of thee, blessed truth, he'll love his own to endless day. Or we believe we know and can trace out a little of it, thou delightest in mercy. Oh, do save sinners in this place. Oh, do work that mighty work of grace, we pray. Oh, quicken many souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, bless the generations. We think of each of those who are in the higher part of life that are getting on in the years here below. Oh, be gracious to them, the everlasting light. Show them thy salvation. Give them that grace to endure. Give them that grace to overcome at last. Oh, Lord, we need an overcoming grace. Without overcoming grace, we'll not endure. We shall make shipwreck of faith. Oh, do be with us. And with those in middle days with many responsibilities and cares, family circles, the married and the unmarried, those that know grief in their life, those that walk the path of affliction, or paths in which they find too hard to walk in. Or may they truly know thy deliverances and everlasting strength that they may endure. Oh, that they might truly see thy goodness passing before them in the way to make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. Oh, bless the younger folks, the young men and young women, Lord, do put thy tender fear in their hearts. Oh, do write thy laws. Oh, may they know what it is to stand in awe of thy majesty, to know something of the depth of their own heart, their wickedness, and to cry out for mercy. Oh, may our young friends know and walk in the path of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that they might know what it is to be justified, or to be visited, to be forgiven. Oh, bless the dear children, we pray for them in these sad and solemn days. We ask they may be kept. Open their hearts while young. Bless those things set before them in the Sunday school. And what parents may be pleased to teach them. Oh, do help parents not only in teaching from thy word, but in training up families in the fear of God. Bless the little ones in arms, we pray for them. Oh, bless sinners in this place. My dear younger friends, hope to marry at the end of this week. We'll be with him and his dear one. We'll be very gracious to them. We'll do bless them indeed. And may they be praying pillars in the earth in days to come. May they be fruitful in the land where they abide. We'll do hear prayer. Bless office bearers. We'll give them wisdom and grace and godly fear. Oh, may they do all things with a single eye to thy glory. Send to this people a living ministry. And in due time, according to thy own perfect will, send them a true pastor appointed by thee. May they not seek to make their own appointments in their own spirits and judgments. May they seek thy face. Or do thou direct. Or do thou check. And do thou shut. And do thou instruct. Do thou open. And do thou provide for them. Oh Lord, we do pray that thy people may dwell in union in godly fear. Oh, each be given a spirit of fear and trembling before the Lord. May they esteem them, their brethren, greater than themselves. Oh, may they walk humbly with their God. Oh, keep the spirit of the world from this church, the spirit of the age, the modern light and self-sufficient and self-reliant spirit of man. Oh, may they know their need of God. Oh, the blessing of the Lord forever. And do hear prayer for our land and nation. Oh, do have mercy on us and yet pray out thy spirit. Oh, do restrain the foolishness of man and the evil ways of men in this land. And oh, do hear the cries of thy people to spare the guilty realm. And do raise up wise men, God-fearing people to rule over us. We pray, we thank thee for the harvest. Oh, the beautiful seasons, Lord. How wonderful are thy works. But there's one work we must know. One work we must be partakers of by the gift of God. Oh, that one great work that exceeds them all. Salvation. Oh, to be partakers of the divine life. May we win Christ and be found in thee. Oh, we've passed the season of harvest, really, more or less. Apart from late fruits, really. But Lord, oh, we must be harvested. Oh, the autumn colours remind us of our greying and ageing. Oh, we only have 1 year of life. Oh, creation sees many seasons. But we only have one season. Oh, must we go and be gathered to our long home. Oh, do prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform at all of grace. Remember the dear flock and friends at home, every precious soul, young and old there, and bless and help thy dear servant engaged there this day. And all the little hills of Zion, oh, revive thy work. In the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, let thy work appear, we pray. Oh, we live in a modern global age. There's all that's taking place and all the future of the earth. Thy counsels must unfold to the Jew and Gentile. Oh, but wilt thou not ever have a loving, tender, watchful eye upon the members of thine own body, the Church of God? Oh, may we be among those who are cared for, watched over, looked after, preserved in Jesus, among those whom thou wilt prepare for glory, to be with us in life and be with us in death, and bring us safely home to God. We do want to thank you for so many mercies. Our cup runs over. Oh, how good and gracious thou art. How good and gracious thou hast been. Oh, do bless thy word to us now. Loose a poor stammerer's tongue. Grant thus saith the Lord, or may be things done to thy own glory and honour. Oh, command the blessing. Pardon our many, many mighty sins. Oh, it's a grief to us sometimes. We feel more of a grief. It really is a sense of where we get to at times. For what a faithful friend thou hast been to us these many years. So hear our confessions with heartily and solemnly and truly. And oh, make us transparent in it, to confess all and to plead Christ. Enable us to look to thee on the mercy seat. Let the living waters flow. Oh, may we know a little of that pardoning love today. To know we are complete in thee, justified freely by thy grace, all through faith. Oh, bless us poor sinners. and speak the comforting word where there's tribulation and distress. So we ask all these great things. Oh, we plead thy precious name, all prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1004. Lord, I am vile, conceived in sin, and born unholy and unclean. Sprung from the man whose guilty fall corrupts the race and taints us all. Hymn 1004.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and to verse 25, particularly the last question in the verse. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The whole verse reads, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There's hope here for sinners. Sinners that are made righteous by God and by God alone. The natural law in our conscience, awakened to our true state, tries to make ourselves righteous. And what a mercy we're not left to it. If we're given everlasting light, and if we know something of the work of the Holy Ghost in our heart in leading us to repentance, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The work of the Holy Ghost in feeding our souls with the true bread, the glorious truth of Emmanuel, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, the Saviour of the world. Abraham was very favoured in so many ways, wasn't he? He's called the father of the faithful. And he's set down by the Holy Ghost as a pattern of precious faith. Childless, he still believed the promise. He still trusted. Oh, guilty sinner, poor helpless worm of the earth, do you and I believe the word of God? Do we trust in one who fills eternity, who's raised his beloved son to his right hand, that dais man and that mediator between God and men? Remember, Abraham was called. Oh, Jesus spoke in his day upon earth, and he lives forever. Ye must be born again. Margin, ye must be born from above. And if we're born again, we shall be taught to vital truths. The first is, we shall be taught our ruin and helplessness and hopelessness, and we shall feel our ruin. And it's something that will abide with us all our days. It's not something we forget when we're blessed and forgiven. It's something that's cruel to us. Something that really troubles us. Something that brings conflict. And the other blessed truth we shall be sweetly taught is salvation by grace. Or to be led by God the Holy Ghost to Christ. And Jesus, who sends that Holy Ghost, sends the Holy Ghost to his church to feed the flock and to reveal Christ. When Jesus reveals himself to you, my friends, the Holy Ghost revealing the blessed mediator to your soul. The Holy Ghost doesn't speak of himself. Oh, all the workings in your heart that save you are by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, he takes the things of Jesus and makes them precious to us. And then in spite of all our wickedness and our woe, all that is troubling to us, we sang in the hymn just now about our sin. Opening hymn, oh, we pleaded the refuge. This is the effect of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Ah, do you know Christ to be your refuge, dear refuge of my weary soul? Why are you weary? Why am I weary? Because it's sin. It's the fruit of sin, is weariness. They're not weary in heaven, you know. But we're weary here. Because we're aging, we're dying. And it's a sin-stricken world, and it's full of trouble and lamentation and woe. And we're guilty sinners, we are. We have to go to God as penitents, day by day and year by year. But if we're going to God as led by the Spirit, we go as humble believers, hoping in him and pleading in him and filling our mouth with arguments in all our straits and necessities. Well, God, who loved Abraham, loves all the sons of Abraham too. Oh, Lord knows the secret number, the sum of the sons of Abraham here today. Those that live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. And loving Abraham, he intimated to him, because he loved him, and because he had chosen him and his seed to serve him, that Abraham as a faithful would teach his children. And that teaching goes right on today, doesn't it? As said, the natural sons of Abraham, they're still under the law. They're still waiting for Messiah, living in unbelief. So they're not, though naturally, by blood and genetics, they're sons of Abraham, but not by faith. And we poor Gentiles, blessed be God for his great love. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, be thankful for the whosoever. It embraces the most far off, the most complicated of cases. It embraces, oh, the most desperately wicked heart. It embraces the poor and needy, sinners with nothing good. Oh, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, they're called because they're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Abraham was called, so the sons of Abraham are also called. But to return to the point, you see, he made a secret known. He was going to destroy Sodom. And of course, godly Abraham immediately thought of Lot in Sodom. And here is an instruction: for surely did not the Spirit of truth, yes, in Abraham, instruct and enable Abraham to plead? Was this sin for Abraham to inquire of the Lord? My friends, it was not sin, because Abraham had a sense of the blessing of the covenant and the glory hereafter. And he was completely humbled, I believe, humbled in this sense. Why me? When this world is sinking into outer darkness and gnashing of teeth, to that dreadful lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Abraham had understanding of these things in those early primitive days. We have the full record of the canon of Scripture, but we need the same life and the same faith of Abraham to make us consider, to pause and consider, where shall I spend eternity? Am I ready to meet God? Well, of course, it's November now, and the grain harvest has been safely gathered in, thanks to Almighty God and his faithfulness with man and beast on the earth. But it couldn't be gathered in until it was ripe. And therefore, those that live by faith, you know, they journey. They journey to plead the promise. Or they journey on, expecting the Lord's mercy and faithfulness to surround them because of the promise. I wonder if any people here this morning that know something of the sweetness of the promise to their soul, and now you're tried. But that promise is not disannulled by your wandering heart and mind and your indwelling sin and all that fills with sorrow, your unbelief and your workings of pride and your worldly mindedness during the week, and you come back to the Sabbath morning, Lord, where am I? Mercy, mercy, Lord. I haven't changed since I was born, but I need thy power. You see, you go back to the throne of grace in your exercise and thoughts, don't you? Oh, praying the publican's prayer once more. Yes, and it's always a once more, and it will be till you die. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, Abraham knew the precious truth. And you know, the Lord, he brought him to a good old age. And all the patriarchs, they gathered up their feet in their bed and gave up the ghost. They ripened. And that's a right exercise, a good exercise, a blessed exercise. And you know, all weathers bring the fullness of the harvest. Without the rain, no swelling of the grain. Without the sunshine, no ripening. Oh, the Lord of the harvest will prepare each shock of corn in his due time. And won't it be a wonder, friends? A wonder to be ready. As you look at your state this morning and you look at affairs around you, look at your sinnership, black as the confines of hell, is not an exaggeration concerning your human nature. Or look at unregeneracy, or the shame of it. And now, oh, you struggle still with the same old sinnership, the same dark powers, but oh, he's had dominion. He's called with an heavenly call. You go out on pilgrimage, having to fight the fight of faith. It's not an easy faith in the church of God, the true church. It's fighting the fight of faith, knowing whom you have believed, to lay hold upon eternal life. Faith never says, I've got eternal life, I can relax a little now. No, faith, a sweet exercise, it's determined to lay hold upon eternal life. In fighting that good fight of faith. Well, I'm a long time coming to the word, aren't I? But you want to point this out, you see. That God was pleased to show Abraham his power, his holiness, and his mercy. And Abraham, knowing the covenant, began to plead for covenant love and grace. If you know the covenant, you'll plead it. If I know the covenant, I'll plead it. We plead what is real, precious, and blessed to us. And the Lord will lead you and I in a pathway in which you need covenant blessing. You must be helped. You must be brought safely through. There are many trials, and these trials, my friends, are the hand of God. The hand of God. And so, as the Lord instructed Abraham that he was now going to visit these cities and see whether the report that had reached to heaven, it's a figurative way of speaking, because he knew his eyes omniscient, he knows you and I and all the depth of the four within, and all our works are known to him, but it's a figurative language, you see. Oh, the cry of Sodom was so great, it went into heaven. The cry of wickedness. And you know, I've often thought of that word, the cry of Sodom, though mercy did from that sin, and have no inclination through the tender mercy of God, though we would never boast, we'll never commit any sin. We could commit any sin under temptation, left to ourselves. But oh, the cry of my soul, the wicked thoughts, the wicked imaginations, the vileness of nature, oh, the pride of man, the covetousness. the bitterness, the evil. Oh, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's man's nature, isn't it? Oh, the law says, thou shalt not, and nature does it because nature loves it. And it must be preserved outwardly, but it's in the heart. And here's where the bitterness is. The heart knows its own bitterness, doesn't it? And we're children of pride. So he spoke to Abraham in this matter, and Abraham intercedes. And here we see the wondrous grace of God. Abraham says something here by blessed faith. We must find this righteous man. The Lord helps to find something of this righteous man this morning. So he says and pleads, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner. He knew this by faith, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Now, may the Lord grant that we may be consoled within our own breast about our standing ourselves before the omniscient eye of God. You see, my friends, Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. He will never slay the righteous with the wicked. They can't be slain. Wicked must be slain. And we see the sacred narrative, the long-suffering mercy of God. Now look at our own lives for a moment. The long-suffering mercy of God. Is it not a wondrous thing to you? His long-suffering, forbearing, patience lengthened out. Oh, spared. We've not been dealt with after our sins deserve, my friends. These are the tenements of the Most High, an everlasting covenant. Oh, when Christ was made precious to your soul, you're brought under the bond of an everlasting covenant, ordering all things and sure. Your heart rejoiced in God, your Saviour. But now there is the trial of faith and the poverty, the grief and the woe. Oh, this is the world of tribulation. Those in heaven, we are told they came out of great tribulation. Great tribulation, outward troubles, inward strifes of the soul and severe temptations, great tribulation, but they were occupied. Occupied till I come with the spiritual talent. And what was the occupation? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, blessed occupation. So let us, the Lord helping, find something of the character and the way of this righteous people that will not perish. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. He will. And there were not 10 there. So he took Lot out. Do you know, not one of the ransom shall ever be lost. Lot, in many ways, was not a character we could emulate, or should not anyway. He spread his tent towards Sodom. It was very foolish, wasn't it? He looked to the well-watered plain and the green pastures, prosperity. And we're no different, friends. We're no different. We equally look at nice things here below and like to map a nice pathway out for ourselves, you see. And eventually dwelt in Sodom. He was not partaker of her abominations, let's be clear. But he lingered. He was warned. He lingered, and let me say this, wonderful, isn't it? God forced him out. He took him by the hand. He wouldn't let him perish. You fact that about yourselves. You've seen an experience of a mighty hand, maybe in deep and serious illness. They weren't actually doing anything to bring, particularly evil, to bring that illness on, but the Lord preserved you. kept you alive and blessed you. And it may be that you were in the depth of wickedness and the hand of the Lord took hold of you and turned you around. And maybe, my dear friends, you've known the Lord's blessing, you've wandered away. May not be an outward sin, though. Of course, it is recorded in the scripture, outward sins of the Lord's people. But, oh, how you're so carnal and sold under sin and so prayerless. Oh, and your heart seems so slow to serve the Lord and quick to serve the flesh. And yet there's that hand that won't let you go. Tender mercies of the Most High. He took Lot out. And he was clearly a just man because he worshipped after the pattern of Abraham. Oh, my dear friends, isn't it wonderful mercy that what the poet says in that hymn, the couplet, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stand. But I must come to answer my own question. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will the righteous perish with the wicked? They're all dying. These all died in the scriptures. The righteous, the wicked died in the scriptures, didn't they? The righteous, the wicked die today. The cemeteries and the graveyards are full of men who are either righteous or wicked. They all died in their day and generation. Lord, help us to find a righteous man. Oh, the Lord, help me to speak those things that are to his glory, to the glory of Christ, and to the comfort and edification of his dear people. A righteous man is brought to fully renounce his own righteousness. He's brought to realize more and more that in his flesh there dwells no good thing. Oh, he daren't trust in his own heart. He then looked to himself to be kept and preserved unto the end. He's led out of himself, led out of himself. He's led to God in repentance and faith. Oh, my dear friends, a righteous man is a man that confesses his sins. It's a mercy when you go to a place to preach the gospel of the deacon confessing his sin, and especially when it really sounds true. Sometimes just a formal, cold sort of confession and a duty done. But when you come to the company of men sometimes and you find your heart joining with them in their prayers, what miserable sinners we are. Oh, how can a man like me be found among the people of God? And my friends and ministers are saying, how can a man not preach that precious gospel? But he must. If he's eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drunk his precious sin atoning blood, he must preach him. Oh, if we confess our sins. And do you confess your sins daily? I wonder how many are still under the law here. They're struggling to stop sinning. Or they're struggling to get better. Guilt lies heavy on them at times. And they acknowledge their sins before God, but their eyes aren't to Christ as yet. That's the Holy Ghost work. Oh, may the Lord work it mightily here and at home as well. That poor sinners may be directed to Emmanuel on the throne of grace, who was dead and alive forevermore. May the Holy Ghost bring into our heart the glory of that truth. He was dead. He lives no more to die. He was dead. He's atoned. Now, if you have any sweet hope your sins have been atoned for, how you hate your own life also, if you're a righteous man. You mourn over all your unprofitable, your human nature you possess. You won't rise smartly in the morning with a bright face and a cheery spirit, go out about the business, oh, I'm a righteous man, and feel full of self-admiration. You won't come to chapel feeling, oh, you're a cut above the rest. You're righteous, you're doing this and you're doing that. That was a Pharisee. God, I thank them not as other men. Oh, I give tithes, all I possess, and I fast and I pray. Oh, I've not committed sins like that man over there. That's not righteousness, my friends. It's a stink before God. It's a false offering. There's no Christ in it. Every offering but Christ is a stench, an abomination before God. And you may think that's strong language, but it's not. Every offering before God, apart from the offering of his own lamb, is an abomination, my friends. It's not sufficient. It won't do. There's no atonement. So, dear child of God, if you're among the righteous, you have to confess your sins with weeping and honesty and a certain grief about yourself. Oh, may you be encouraged to look to Christ. You feel your need of being saved. But I must speak of the operation of the Spirit, you see, because a righteous man will know the work of God, you see, in his heart. He longs to be forgiven by God, and he longs for the blessing of the Lord to rest upon him forevermore. And therefore, the Holy Spirit gives him gospel light concerning that glorious person, the Lord Jesus. He begins to see all the wonders of that precious blood that was shed, and he thirsts after it, you see. And that same blessed Spirit has begun that work in you and will perform it. He brings the sweet efficacy of that into your poor, troubled heart. And therefore you believe to the saving of your soul. There's a believing in coming. In the exercise, you don't always feel saved in those early days of calling upon that precious name of God. And I remember in my own case, and no doubt some of you can just remember just the same, you know he's the Christ. Now that sinner is justified, but nevertheless, he doesn't feel the sweetness of the truth because he has not an eye to the finished work of Christ. And remember early days in pleading the forgiveness of sin through Jesus and asking for his blessing, you see, in my heart I'm still trying to perform. I'm looking for myself to cease from sin. Oh, our grief has been because we could not cease from sin. Ah, till late you hear your Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. When the Holy Ghost impresses on your heart, of this finished salvation. And so you flee and worship. Oh, my dear friends, a righteous man is that man that really values, believes he's precious, exceedingly precious. Precious in his life. He lived. Oh, and you want your life to be hid within. You want to be a follower of him. You want to know him and win him. He's precious in that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And in your own heart and the court, your own conscience, you feel something of that cleansing efficacy. Also, a righteous man feels very, very poor in his nakedness, in his weakness in the flesh. He knows he must have the everlasting arms underneath him. He must know the ministering to him of everlasting strength to get to heaven. And it is ministered because he calls upon that name. Now, you know, a righteous man doesn't always feel the sweetness of the truth of the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. But he hears of it, and in hearing he wrestles, he prays for it. He ventures. The cases in the scripture, like the dying thief, he was foreknown as righteous. And by an immanent act of God, in eternity, in the eternal thought, he viewed the dying thief that repented as being his own in the everlasting company. He chose him and gave him to Christ. But you know, he lived the most wicked life until his dying day. But faith came because light came. He suddenly saw who this man was. all the import of it. He was dying. This man was dying. His wicked friend was dying as well. There were three dying people. He's given eternal life and precious faith to see here's the Messiah. His everlasting kingdom. I'm undone. I'm ruined. So he rebukes his friend. And, you know, a few minutes more been railing on Christ and saying dreadful mocking things to the I am that I am. God manifest in the flesh. But oh, what a change. Now look at our lives. Has there been that change? He felt his need of the blessing. Every righteous man feels his need of the blessing. And so he turned, because he believed who he was, he petitioned him. And what a sweet and blessed and pathetic petition it was. He rebuked his friend and owned we indeed suffer justly. This man had nothing amiss. He turned his face and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I know I've spoken this before on the Sabbath morning here, maybe last year or some years ago. But look at the freeness of the grace. Look at the efficacy of the great offering of sin. There was a robber, a violent man. Oh, all sorts of names apply to these scriptures. A common, more recent name is a mugger, one who mugs people. Or a highwayman of years ago, you see, a violent man. And it's far best for society for these men to be locked up. And here's one now apprehended and judged by the law to be worthy of death, and he was. He owns the sentence just. A righteous man does not disagree with the sense of death in himself, because he has a sense of death by faith. You see, when we're under the law, we own all the justice, but what can we do? But when faith comes, you have a blessed sense of death. You should not trust in yourself. What a blessed sense of that is. It's to life, you know. You know that sense of death. I'm sure conscience, the court of conscience, speaks of a sense of death. Is there any tender conscience here? But there was a sense of death that the apostle had received. He should not trust in himself, but in him which raiseth the dead. It's just what the dying thief did. Remember me. Today, the Lord told him we'd be with him in paradise. Without money, without price. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, she came in that same way of faith. She hadn't been healed, but she knew in whom she believed. Now, there may be here, those here this morning, they know in whom they believe, and they're waiting upon God. Oh, they pray earnestly not to be left to themselves, but they might be prepared and they may be washed. Would visit them and do them good. Abraham was visited, you see. He was visited a number of times. And Jacob was visited. He was visited a number of times. Jacob left his home as a sinner. Or he was, as it were, seeking a refuge elsewhere. His life was in danger. He was under reproach. He knew he'd sinned, and Esau was full of vengeance. Isaac and his mother thought it was prudent to send him away to leave. Esau's wrath was pacified. And because of the promise, the desire that he should have indeed not the wife of the Canaanites, but of that seed from which the seed was called, Abraham was called, that same family as it were, a group of people. And therefore he sends him away. But he's a guilty sinner. He only knows this truth of the covenant blessing in his mind, as it were. But a day comes when he's visited. He knows God. He worshipped him. Is that what you long to do? To worship him. And how you will when your soul is made free. When you're set free from the snare. Or like a bird set free from the snare of the fowler. Oh, there's a worshipping, isn't there? Well, a righteous man then is that man who really holds to the precious truth of Christ and fills his mouth with arguments and waits upon him and looks unto him. Now, so there are those here who fear the Lord with a holy fear and trembling. Those who see such a glory and beauty and they pray to him, they cry to him, they look to him, they wait upon him. They long to walk in all his righteous ways. With fear and trembling. Oh, but they're such poor, needy sinners. They come so short. Now God imputes the righteous dear Son, which Christ wrought, the righteous of God revealed from heaven, to that man that believes. To that man that believes. The imputating, my friends, is that gift or act of God where he judges and lays on the righteousness. He ascribes the right of Jesus to that man that confesses his sins and reverences the Son of God and pleads Christ and says in heart, not let thee go except a blessing thou bestow. Now, that man is blessed. And by, the Holy Ghost makes him very precious, very blessed to him. Now let us look more at this question. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? This brings us to the trial of faith. This brings us to the solemn realization of our utter ruin and helplessness and hopelessness before God. And this, my dear friends, question will bring us as the Spirit sweetly leads us and brings this truth to our heart to behold the man, that refuge for sinners. Now, where are we today? No doubt we're in different places. State of our soul, our affairs, our circumstances. Oh, there's a height and a depth to our sinnership. I'm afraid mine's unfathomable. And my cry reaches up to heaven. I can't enumerate my sins and transgressions. There's so many. And the truth is, neither can you, my dear friend. Oh, but shall not the judge of the earth do right? Provide a lamb and a surety and a saviour. A great one and a saviour. Is not their Redeemer strong and everlasting? Is not God love? Not the Almighty, the Eternal Jehovah? Know the fullness of the depth of the fallen depravity of man and see his height and his depth and his length and breadth in sinnership. But is not Jehovah who fills eternity? Oh, of himself and from himself he gave his beloved Son. All the innumerable sins that you know you can't number and are so weighty were laid on him, imputed, reckoned up to him. Think of your filth and your wickedness and all your pride and follies and foolishness. Is it really true? Did the eternal Son of God really bear our iniquity, my iniquity? How will you know this? You'll know it by the still small voice of the Spirit of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You know your troubles here today. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. There is none else. All the precious, sweet truth, ho, everyone that so thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Hath no money, yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Oh, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? His people must be blessed that look to him and flee to him and wait upon him. But you see, in your life, your dear husband's elder brother and heavenly friend, your eternal Saviour, your eternal refuge. Jesus is an eternal Saviour. He had no beginning, he has no end. He's God. Has laid down his life, lived, died, risen. When he died at Calvary, he said, "It is finished." Now, all that people he did it for, loved with an everlasting love. And they're drawn with loving kindness, aren't they? We read in Jeremiah 31. They're drawn. I think 23 it is. They're drawn to Christ. And are you drawn here today? Longings in your soul, feeling your plight and your circumstances, knowing your distresses, knowing the plague within, feeling so frail and vulnerable, wondering whether God's judgment should fall upon you, you know in whom you believe. Oh, grace brings into exercise. Yes, we're sinners, but we know in whom we believe to be that mighty Saviour and cannot let him go and must pursue. They were often faint like Gideon's men. They were faint yet pursuing. Oh, my dear friends, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God judges us here today. He judges us today as he will judge us, my friends, on that judgment day. With deep affection he judges his church, his dear church, that trust him and wait upon him and pray unto him. He judges him in tender loves and mercies. So he, in a peculiar, skillful way, leads his dear people in paths they have not known. The judge of the earth lays obstacles and brings trials and storms and winds. Listen to the gale in the night. Thankfully not as strong as was forecast. The thought of that wind in his fist. Oh, friends, and praying for safety. And so we see in this in life, it is like an illustration. The storms that blow and the storm of death draws on apace. Who can say how nigh? Oh, you want to find refuge. Like a man caught in a gale in the open field, he needs a covert. And how a vessel at sea wants to find a harbour to shelter. And so faith says, let me find him. Let me hide in him. So you call upon him by precious faith. These are the righteous. And the Lord, you know, he leads you safely along. Now, dear child of God, has the Lord left you safely along today? Right to the moment of time, you look back over the ups, the downs. Were not the trials appointed, the afflictions appointed? They were as appointed as much as the blessings in your soul, divinely appointed from all eternity, so were the means used to bring us to the footstool of mercy. And that's where the judge of the earth will always do right with you, friend. The footstool of mercy. The throne of grace. Oh, you'll know justice there. Pure justice. In love, in grace, in mercy. Ministered. Oh, in blessing will I bless thee. In multiplying I'll multiply thee. In thy seed will nations of all the families of the earth be blessed. It's rendered differently to the different patriarchs. Families or the nations. They must be blessed as Jacob was blessed. Because Jacob's greater son and David's greater son has lived and died for the ungodly. That's the gospel. And you who seek him and call upon him, fears and tremblings and trials and mountains in front of you may be this day, wondering where the scene will end. This blessed one, the judge of all the earth, he must do right. He's covenanted to hear prayer. He will hear prayer. He cannot lie. The God of mercy, rich in grace. That's what the saints will prove as they call upon that precious name, confess their sins and spread their matters. And oh, they lean heavily and hard upon him. They must be saved. They will be saved for the everlasting covenant. They're not left to presume. They want the food. They want the drink. They want the efficacy of the blood of the covenant. They want the love shed abroad in their heart. They want that contact at the throne of grace. They want the relief in their soul. And has it not been that in your life? Think of the reliefs you've known in your soul. The deliverance is granted. The answers to prayer. The helps by the way. Yes, not small helps, but helps of an everlasting help. Oh, what a refuge is in Christ, my friends. He'll do right with you who trust in him and wait upon him. You'll not perish in your guilt, in your troubles, in your afflictions, in your temptations, in your providences. You'll be preserved and will be brought safely through. He's a blessed man that trusts in him. The scriptures tell us, and is rendered differently in so many different verses, isn't it? Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecting not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And again, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Oh, my soul, my needy soul, in the judgments of God upon you. Judgments of mercy, judgments of grace, and yet judgments of righteousness. There's a trial of faith with it so often. Yet there's a hope that shall never be put to shame. Your hope in Christ shall never be put to shame. And my people, who I laid down my life for, shall never be ashamed. So, he who is Almighty God will make us know how poor we are here today. How needy we are. What desperate, wicked hearts we have. We're frail, we're mortal, but oh, how wonderful if your eyes and your heart and your feet are directed to Jesus at the right hand of God upon the throne. Oh, may we be helped. Just one passing thought as I close now. It was too late for Jairus. Perhaps it's too late for you. You may say in your heart, too late, Lord. I'm too far gone. This is all about me. No hope anywhere for me. You may say in your heart, because they'd trouble the master no further. She's dead. It's too late. Be not afraid. Only believe. He's the resurrection. Which means he can do everything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He opened a barren womb in covenant love, didn't he? And if he forgives sins, he can save unto the uttermost, the performing God. Be not afraid, only believe. And those humble believers who come weeping in supplication, they will live to prove that the judge of the earth will always, always do right. He blesses and saves the poor and the needy. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O thou who art the judge of all the earth, may it please you to do those holy right things among us to thy dear people today. Or may something do us good from thy precious word. Relieve the soul of the afflicted. Or raise up the downcast. Say peace be still to one and another. And pardon, Lord, our mighty sins. On thy tender mercy, follow with thy blessing, and do forgive all spoken wrongly here this morning. We plead for sparing mercies and not gather us again together this night. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £650, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life, and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. Hymn 1099.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.